Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
They keep it simple for Jackson. You know, they don't stretch the field, I guess you could say. They kind of keep everything in between the numbers and, you know, kind of makes his reads a little more easier, which, like I said, they've been so successful doing.
Micah Hyde, can I get a preemptive, we should all relax?
What are we not relaxed about?
If they lose to Pittsburgh, the freak out will kind of start. What if they then lose to New England? Three losses in a row.
Yep.
Are they backing into the playoffs?
Hey, by the way, they haven't lost back-to-back games yet all season.
Okay.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, they lost to New England, won at Tennessee, lost to Philly, beat Washington, lost to Cleveland, beat Miami.
Helps to have bad teams following good
teams. Doesn't hurt. This is the best team they would have faced. Yeah, I'd say this game, as opposed to going to Tennessee at that time, Mariota was playing, and
yep.
I think Pittsburgh's playing better football right now. Will I freak out? No. I don't think I will if they lose this game. Look, at the very least, I'm pretty confident in telling you there's no way they would be losing to the Jets if it's a win or in scenario.
I agree with that.
I'm really,
the Jets,
to me,
be...
that's the freaking out. What's the last game? If it gets down to that game, the freaking out is all about, is it possible? Like, they're stuck at 9 and they're going to go 9-7. I just don't see that happening.
I don't either. I think it's entirely possible they could lose to Pittsburgh. Of course, it's entirely possible they could lose to New England.
Yep.
I mean, the Patriots will probably cheat. And then...
Of course, you could back in, too. I mean, you know...
Right. It doesn't
matter. Tennessee's schedule's really hard the rest of the way.
Yeah.
They've got two games with Houston, and their other game is New Orleans.
I bet they could beat both. They could maybe beat Houston both times. They're playing great, Tennessee.
But if they beat Houston both times, now that the Texans have 7 losses, at least.
Oh, no, I'm not worried about the Bills making the playoffs.
Yeah, okay.
I think that they're pretty safe to make it. What I'm getting at is, if they do back in, it doesn't really matter.
Sure.
In is in,
right?
You know?
Okay, see, I thought you were getting at...
No.
Freaking out is if you think they're going to blow the playoff spot, or two, you don't like the fact that they would have, in their the best games they would have had, opponents, they would have basically gone 0-3 after the Dallas
game.
Sure.
I mean, that wouldn't be encouraging, but it's the same kind of thing. If you lose to Baltimore in the regular season, but then you play them in the postseason, which game matters more, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think you've shown you can stick with the good teams, and you might also be considered a good team, so... It's about getting in, and then they reset the records. You're probably not going to host a home game, right? We know that.
Probably not.
The odds that they win the division are slim. It's still possible, but it's slim. So what are you – like, what's on the line for the Bills in the next 3 weeks? It's the 5 seed or the 6 seed.
Correct. And
and that's if we assume they're going to make it, which I think is relatively safe to do.
I'm assuming they're going to make it.
So am I.
I just don't see them losing the next 3 games and blowing a playoff spot.
No,
plus,
I don't either.
Plus, well, if you lose to Pittsburgh, by the way, you now lose the tiebreaker to the Steelers, of course. That's the significance of Sunday's game. Twofold. One, you win, you're in. Two, if you lose to Pittsburgh, now you don't have head-to-head to them. So the question is, do you lose the remaining games and Tennessee or Houston, the second-place team in the South, beat you out? I just don't see that happening. I really don't. Houston, for that matter, they've got their 2 games with Tennessee, and their other game is at Tampa. You know, I mean, they could lose in Tampa. I mean, you never know with Jameis Winston. He could throw for 456 yards, 4 touchdowns, and 3 picks, and who knows how the game turns out.
They could lose all 3 back in at 9-7, and you're still in.
Right. And it's just, I guess, you'd be, how are they playing? How do they look? Would you be worried about a team going into the playoffs losing 4 straight games? So I'm not freaking out about Sunday if they lose the game. I will always have, to me, the safety net is the last game against the Jets. And look, even the game in New England, there's no aura around the Patriots anymore. You know, if You can even talk about the whole they don't lose at Foxborough went out the window when they lost to Kansas City on Sunday. So the aura of invincibility is gone. And we can have the separate discussion of whether New England is dead and buried, whatever. But there's just, you played them tough here. 16-10, woulda, coulda, shoulda. Josh has a miserable game, gets knocked out with the injury, and it's still a 6-point game when all is said and done. There's that. If you lose to Pittsburgh, there is still the game in Foxborough, and you can say, yeah, guys, they could go in and beat New England because New England's not invincible anymore. So I'm there's no freak out for me. Barring, knock on wood, a rash of injuries, double knock on wood, the Bills are really healthy for this late in the season. Like Sean McDermott was asked about it yesterday.
Very healthy.
And Secchi's like this is about as healthy as you could be in December.
Baltimore might be the only healthier team. Baltimore had all 53 guys.
Yeah, and then they lost Andrews.
Yeah, yeah, but they were very healthy coming in.
Yeah, but I mean, it's been very nice to not have to deal with a run of injuries and a long injury list in December. The Bills have been relatively lucky. Sunday night for me will not be freak out. It'll be very nice. If they win the football game and they can clinch, and then you can sit here and do 5-6 permutations. And me personally, I'd rather play the AFC South winner than go to perhaps Kansas City or New England, unless the Patriots blow the two. Maybe they blow the 2 seed. I'd rather play the AFC South team on the road if I had my choice.
Yeah, the next step in New England's demise is losing to the Bills. Right, that's the next thing that has to happen.
Well, they don't lose.
Let's list the things that they don't ever do. They don't ever lose at home, period. And then they lost to the Chiefs at home. They don't lose
at home in
back-to-back
the division.
Games.
They don't lose division home games.
Sure,
when they lose to Miami, it's in South Florida.
Right, on Hail Marys and stuff like that. Yeah. They don't struggle to score 30 points. All these things that they generally don't do.
Yeah.
One more box to check is lose to the Bills. And I know they've lost games at Gillette, but this one would matter. They would care about it, and the Bills would care about it.
Yeah.
So it's provided that the Bills win this week. If the Bills lose and the Patriots win, it's over, right? They clinch the division.
Because they're two up with two to play.
And then they're still playing for
three to play, yeah.
They're still playing for the bye, I hope. I need that game to matter. Is that wrong? I need that game to matter. Because if they don't care about it, it's the second to last game of the season.
I want it to matter.
I think
this isn't the same as I'm glad, I don't want Brady to be suspended and face Jacoby Brissett. I want to see Brady. Whatever. I'd like to have some significance.
You want to see
game.
The Bills match up against the Patriots as everyone starts to bury them, you included. You're saying like they're done, they're not the same. So seeing this Bills team against them in a game where they need it will be key.
I'm looking at the Patriots' numbers, and I haven't done as big a dive because, we're only taking them one game at a time. We're going to get the calls in a second at 803-0550. But the last one, two, three, four, the last six games, New England has been held by their standards under 30 points, okay? 27 in the win over Cleveland, 20 in the loss to Baltimore, 17 against Philly, 13 against Dallas, although that was in like a rainstorm, right? 22 against Houston and 16 against Kansas City. That's very unpatriot-like. I mean, under 20 points in some of these games.
They probably deserved another touchdown against Kansas City.
But they got chipped out of one. But so they're under 23 of their last five games. That's what I'm telling you. They're just put the nail in the coffin, baby. They're not going to the Super Bowl this year, and they're done. You want to grab Jeremy? Hit line one for me, please. Connor and Elma, you're on WGR. Go right ahead.
Hey, Howard, how you doing?
Good, thank you.
Good. Hey, listen, I finally feel great that you believe that the aura of the Patriots might be going away. Anyway, my ideal playoff scenario for the Bills, I think we're going to win this week against Pittsburgh, and I believe that Baltimore and Kansas City are going to get the first two byes due to having the head-to-head versus the Patriots, and I have us as the 5 seed playing Houston, who I hope wins the division, on the road. And then I have the Patriots as the 3 seed hosting Tennessee. Which I would love to see because of how hot the Titans are. I believe the Steelers are not only going to lose to us, but they're also going to lose to the Ravens when they play them at the end of the year. And I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. They're very well coached by Tomlin, but I think we're going to beat them this week. And I really want Tennessee to make the playoffs and get matched up with New England round one.
The one thing to keep in mind with the Steelers in your scenario, if Baltimore's got everything wrapped up, that's the final game of the season. I'm going to guess they're going to sit a whole bunch of starters.
Yeah, I'll pull this up. I would bet that Pittsburgh's playoff leverage this week is the biggest of any opponent, of any game, right? Mm-hmm. Who's got a lot on the line this week? Pittsburgh has, what you said, they've won 7 out of 8?
Yep.
7 out of 8. They've put themselves in a good spot. They're home at 8-5. You know, 8-5 is nice. It's not 9-4, but it's nice.
Yep.
And their playoff odds are 69%. I'll punch in a win and a loss and what it does to them. I bet their swing is very big.
They will play after the Bills. Their last two games are against the Jets on the road and then Baltimore on the road. But again, it's hard to look at that Baltimore game and factor that in because you don't know if it means anything.
Here you go. You want a swing. New York Times playoff machine. Right
if
now
they beat the Bills.
The Steelers' chances to make the playoffs are 69%.
That's if they win Sunday?
That's right now.
Oh, right now before the game.
So,
okay.
Nice chance.
Yep.
If the Steelers win, they go to 91%.
Woo, wow.
If the Steelers lose, they go to 40%.
Oh, that's a huge drop.
51% swing.
I think that's the biggest swing so far we've seen, right?
Might be. I mean, as you get later in the season, you get swings. You know, you get 0 to 100. So the Steelers have a ton on the line in this game, more than the Bills do. I mean, the Bills win any one of your next three and you're in. Mm-hmm. The Steelers, if they were to lose this game, are in some trouble. They do play the Jets and the Ravens, so they probably have to win 2 out of 3, and if they can win the Jets game, which they should, and the Ravens, if the Ravens are resting, they'd still get in by winning those 2 out of 3. So they can lose to the Bills and still make it, but a lot on the line.
Yeah, I mean, if you know, Baltimore, it's a short week, but I mean, I would think they'd still beat the Jets on Thursday. I mean, if you're, again, Baltimore and you're factoring in the one seed, they do have the tiebreak edge on New England, so they'd be 12-2 going to Cleveland. I don't think, unless New England, I don't think they would have wrapped up the one before then. Anyway, in your scenario, yeah, I you know, that sure, Vrabel and Tennessee going to New England, yeah, that's possible. I mean, that, you know, Tennessee's got a good enough defense. I can't explain Tannehill being 6-1 as a starter. I mean, he's really sparked
their
offense.
Their defense is tremendous.
It's outstanding.
And
but
he's
making plays.
He's been good enough.
Yeah, and he's Derrick Henry's come alive. Their running game is better. It's funny, we looked at, I mean, I know I looked at that Tennessee game when the Bills were getting ready to play them and thought, we knew their defense was good, but we also knew their offense with Mariota wasn't. And they had, you know, they had bolstered their receiving core, right? They brought in Adam Humphries, who's the kid, A.J. Brown, right? They drafted.
Mm-hmm.
So they had, and they still had Corey Davis. You know, you looked at, and Derrick Henry, you looked at it and thought, that's a good offense. What's the problem? Problem is the quarterback was bad. Tannehill's help that offense become better, and coupled with their defense, now you have them at, I think he's 6-1 since he took over as a starter. So that'd be a matchup where you could say, yeah, well, back to the whole aura of invincibility. As Jeremy pointed out earlier, we were talking about Patriots losing home playoff games. It's happened 3 times in Brady's career. I wouldn't be shocked if someone goes into New England and beats the Patriots. They just, you know, you watch them every week and you look at them and go, it's just not right. Not their defense, their offense. And there is no, if teams did get psyched out by going to Foxborough, oh my God, it's Brady, it's Belichick, it's Foxborough. Forget that stuff. They don't have that around them anymore. So I'm telling you, they're not making it to the Super Bowl. I'm not sure they get to the AFC Championship game. There's no way they're getting out of the conference, though.
Should have you pick the Patriots. See just how quickly you're going to have this demise come.
Well, look, they're going to beat Cincinnati and Miami. The question is what happens with the Bills game. I'm not at liberty to say.
Right, not for another hour. Joe writes in, wouldn't it be something if Pittsburgh needs to win in Week 17 to get in and loses to Baltimore's third string?
So it comes around, what, 15, whatever it would be, 15 years later? Yeah, that'd be pretty fast. Would Steeler fans be going, who is this running back that's beating us? What? Who is it?
Well, yeah. It might be who's their third stringer? It's Baltimore anyway.
I'm trying to think who is the backup quarterback in Baltimore, boys?
RG3.
Robert Griffin III.
Okay, so there you could lose to a former Heisman winner.
Their backup is, I think, some guy named McSorley or something like that.
The kid from Penn State?
I think. Think so.
Trace McSorley, right?
Yeah,
isn't that the kid from Penn State?
Yeah,
that'd be pretty funny. That'd be a nasty collapse for the Pittsburgh Steelers, but it would be ironic and yet funny at the same time.
Trace McSorley.
Yeah. Okay. I don't think they'd have a problem beating Trace McSorley.
Last night, the Eagles and the Giants, Eli Manning's career record dips below 500.
Oh, did it really?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, the last, what? They've been bad for 5 years now? 6 years? It's been awful.
Below 500. How many quarterbacks in the Hall of Fame are below 500? Namath?
I bet Namath, because the Jets teams outside of the Super Bowl year, he probably didn't play on a lot of great Jets teams. Boy, I'm trying to think. That's a good question. I don't know who else would come to mind.
Would you bet that Eli does make it?
I think he'll make it, yeah. I think in that room, I don't know the voters, you know, but I think in that room, wow, the two Super Bowls beating New England will carry a lot of weight. Yes.
Namath is one game under 500.
Really? Wow.
And so is Eli Manning.
But Namath goes in. I mean, it was a landmark Super Bowl win. I mean, for, you know, beating the Colts, the big underdog, the whole schmear, the AFL, respectability with the big boys from
sure,
the NFL.
It's an
it
important,
was a landmark
it's a,
game.
It's a moment, right? Yes. You go in for the, what it represented, for sure.
And you know, the voting, the game has changed. Maybe voters' mindsets have changed. Certainly quarterback stats have changed over the years. So, but having said all that, I would still think, because he won two Super Bowls, and they were New England, and Brady, and one of them was to ruin the perfect season, I would expect Eli Manning would be in the Hall of Fame when all is said and done. And, yeah, so I anyway, yeah. All right, 803-0550 to join us. How are you feeling about the Bills after the Baltimore game? Put out a little Twitter poll. You can predict what their record is going to be. Actually, I'm looking for the results from that to determine what I do with Pick the Bills later in the show. Bub tweeted in, feeling good. Run game, defense, really strong. I feel that Josh is going to continue to improve, even against the tough stretch of defenses. He's going to see a lot of pressure till he can hurt teams, which I think is good for his development. Which is something, yeah, look, you know, it's a learning experience. Sunday was a learning experience. I think he learned from the New England game earlier this season. You point out another game where they were blitzing and a lot of different coverages, and they confused him, and I thought he learned from that and got better. And I think, you know, as it is a valuable experience. He had a bad day Sunday, and hopefully he'll grow from it, because you're going to see it two more teams that are going to blitz you a good number of times in the next 2 weeks with Pittsburgh and New England. So I think it was an experience that Josh Allen can learn from and use it as a positive step going forward. Grab a line, join us, let us know. Whatever you want to talk about beyond the Bills, that's fine too. Sabres are playing tonight against St. Louis. We'll talk about that with Paul when we get back. Also on the show today, more Bills talk with Marcel Louis-Jacques, who covers the Bills for ESPN.com. The Steelers are on the schedule Sunday night. Maybe you're going to Pittsburgh. A lot of Bills fans, I think, are going to make the trip. We will find out about the Steelers, who are really a big surprise. And you're hearing a lot lately. There's this groundswell of support for Mike Tomlin as a Coach of the Year candidate. Some people in Pittsburgh saying this might be his best coaching job ever in Pittsburgh, in light of all the losses with the players and everything. Anyway, Arthur Motes, the former Bills linebacker, works these days at 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh. He's going to join us at 9:30. So we'll talk about the Steelers with him. All coming up on the show. 803-0550 to join us. 888-550-2550 WGR.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
It's Paul Hamilton.
He is a beat reporter for a team that has millions of fans. It is so ridiculous how many people he has blocked on Twitter over the most ridiculously stupid things. The man needs to grow up. He needs to have a little bit thicker skin.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Well, it's coming up in a moment. We'll get you ready for hockey tonight on WGR as the Sabres return home. And we'll take on the St. Louis Blues. Football last night, the Eagles moved into a first-place tie in the NFC East. They beat the Giants, came back from 14 down at halftime, and won in overtime on a Carson Wentz touchdown pass to Zach Ertz, 23-17 the final. The Eagles and Cowboys are both 6-7, and they play, I think, in two more weeks. I know they do. Philly hosts Dallas. I believe it's the second-last game of the season.
I'll give you a better to forget it. We eventually get to a spot when the NFL removes the home field advantage for that.
Yeah, I think they're going to hear a lot about it, because what's going to happen is you're going to have a 500 NFC East team hosting either Seattle or San Francisco.
A 12-win team is going to go on the road to face a 7-8.
It's a very easy fix. This isn't complicated.
You get in.
Win your division, you're in.
You reseed.
You're not guaranteed a home spot.
Sure, right.
It's very simple.
We'll seed you once we get the playoff teams based on record.
Yep. Either that or Adam Silver will call the NFL and say, hey, guys, you should really fix this.
There's even a scenario where, and I think this happened with the Titans and Jaguars, let's say the Patriots and the Bills end up with the two best records.
Mm-hmm.
Give them the two byes. You know, it doesn't...
Oh, okay, regardless of division and
yes,
everything.
You're a wild card team, but you won more games than everybody else.
Yeah.
So who cares if you're in the same division? They get the two byes, they're the two best teams.
Yeah. I think what's going to happen with the second-place team in the West going on the road to Dallas or Philly is going to hopefully spark enough that it's not a hard fix. It's pretty simple for the NFL to do this. Seattle's running back Rashad Penny out for the rest of the season, ACL. The NFL's looking into allegations a Patriots video crew was filming the Bengals sideline in their game against Cleveland. The Patriots play Cincinnati this Sunday. The Sabres play St. Louis tonight, home 7:30. It is on NBCSN. You want to hear the Sabres call of the game? Right here at WGR. Jack Eichel is the third star of the week from the NHL. He had 7 points in four games last week. Your Heisman finalists are Joe Burrow, quarterback LSU, Justin Fields, quarterback Ohio State defensive lineman Chase Young, and Oklahoma quarterback Jalen Hurts. And Steven Strasburg is a very rich man. He re-signs with Washington for a Major League Baseball record $245 million. However, he is expected to be passed by Gerrit Cole whenever Gerrit Cole signs with whoever he decides to go to. The headlines brought to you by McDonald's. Enjoy bacon, egg, and cheese biscuits for just $2. Price and participation may vary. Paul's going to join us on our Western Hotline. He will be at the KeyBank Center tonight for the Sabres and the Blues. And Paul's segment with us is brought to you by Losi and Ganji, Buffalo's workers' comp attorneys working hard for hardworking Western New Yorkers. Paul's a hardworking Western New Yorker. Hi, Paul. How are you?
Hello, how you doing?
So does Ryan O'Reilly still get booed tonight? I don't know why I just thought that was not on my original list of questions, but when I realized it's St. Louis, I just thought I'd ask if Ryan O'Reilly's still going to get booed tonight.
Okay. Well, Chara still gets booed, but he never played here.
Yeah, he'll always get booed. Lucic would probably get booed. Did he get, wait, was Cal, yeah, Calgary was already in town, right? Did Lucic get booed?
Yes. No.
No, he didn't get booed? Okay, maybe the Sabres fans forgot about him and Ryan Miller.
He hardly plays, though, either, so.
Good point. Western Canada in the books, 3 points out of six. Give us your assessment overall of the three games and how you thought the Sabres fared.
Well, considering the way it started, I think it's good that they got three out of six, and especially since the last one was a hard-earned one where they had to go out and hang in there, and they had a 2-0 lead. They came back. They looked very tired in the second period. It looked like the back-to-back had caught up with them, and they just didn't have their legs at all. But surprisingly enough to me, Edmonton decided it was in the third period. They kind of looked like the tired team. It was shots were just 6-6, and they kind of let it be 2-2. And, I kind of thought Edmonton would really turn it on in the third and make the Sabres kind of hang on. But it didn't turn out that way, and it allowed the Sabres to stay in it. They came out with the win, so good for them.
Yeah, I would have, excuse me, Paul, I would have thought like that would have, to me, that seemed like the toughest of the three. Like Edmonton, the third game in the trip, the back-to-back, granted it wasn't Saturday night in Vancouver, it was an early afternoon game in Vancouver, but I thought Edmonton would have been the toughest game, and as it turns out, that's the one game where they get a win. That's a quality win.
Yeah, it was, especially since Edmonton came back, and The thing is, you know, you can't. McDavid really was only dangerous the one time, where, and it was a great save. I mean, you talk about you need a big save. Well, he came down the slot, and Ullmark made a huge glove save on him. And I thought Drysdale actually was the more dangerous guy. You know, he hit a post. He had a wraparound he almost scored on. It just seemed like he was the more dangerous guy during out the game. But the Sabres kept him off the scoreboard, too. So you got the top two scorers in the league. Neither one got on the scoreboard. The guys they do let on the scoreboard are the guys that never score, like first goal in 27 games. And they seem to have a habit of that this year. It seems like the bottom six guys kill this team. Very often they can keep the top guys off the scoreboard, but guys who haven't scored all year or have one goal all of a sudden are scoring goals and getting two or something like that.
Paul, funny thing is that of all the teams in the NHL, the team that is the best at shutting down Connor McDavid is the Buffalo Sabres.
8 points in eight games. Wow,
but in terms of like how what share of shot percent, all that stuff, like how often he has the puck. The Sabres are the best at it. Wow. I mean, he gets a lot of points against a lot of teams. And again, 8-8 is finger quotes shutting him down. But it is interesting that they were able to find a way to do that. And you know, defensively, they're not giving. I don't know. Are they giving up a lot of great quality, or just getting beat on some shots that maybe your goaltenders might want back?
It depends which game we're talking about. I mean, there have been some games where Ullmark has had to stand on his head and face 40. But recently. Yeah, those 6-6 shots, none of them were great quality on either side, really, to be quite honest. And, I didn't leave that game thinking, boy, Ullmark really stood on his head. Even the second period where the Sabres only had, I believe it was 4 shots, and they got outshot 12-4, it wasn't like I thought, well, Ullmark is really holding them in here. They're under siege. It wasn't like they were under siege. They just weren't really generating much. And the 11 shots that Ullmark looked at were, some of them were for long range. I mean, he made some good saves along the way. As I said, the one that he had to make on Connor McDavid was just a phenomenal save in front. But, it just depends which game it happens. There are games they do get run over. And there are games where they play pretty good defensively and limit the good chances that come at them.
I know it's not all on him, but what's up with Carter Hutton?
It's just a struggle for him right now. First, they don't score a lot of goals for him in some games. Now, they did the other night, but there are other games where they don't score a lot of goals, so he doesn't have a lot of room for error. And if he does make the one error, it costs them dearly. And I know it's frustrating for him that, but there are some goals there and there too that he would want back, or some saves where he doesn't come up with the big save at the big time that when they need it. And, you know, you say to yourself, well, that would have been a tough save, but boy, they could have used a save there, you know, to bail him out.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't seem like that's happening for him right now. And he knows it. He knows that he goes, we can sit here and analyze every goal, but he says the bottom line is I'm paid to make saves.
Yeah, and I mean, that's it.
And that's what he said, and he's not making them.
Sorry, Paul. I mean, like the last game he played, and I mean, there are odd man rushes, and there are breakdowns in the defensive zone. But, right, at some point, you know, that comes with the job. You've got to be able to make the bailout save, and he doesn't. So you can look at the 4 or 5 goals a game that are going in against him, and you can point out it isn't all him, but you do have to make the bailout save, and he has not been able to do that for a while.
Yeah, and his team did score goals for him the other night, and in the end, they still wound up losing the game 6-5. You know, so I don't know if he just needs to have a win. I mean, it's very rare to see what's happened to him. I mean, he won the first 6 games. He was 6-0, and then he loses his next 9. I mean, it's so rare you see that. And the numbers he put up in the beginning of the year were very good also.
Yeah, right. He had like a .940 save percentage there for a while. He was stopping everything.
Yeah, in 6 games.
Yeah.
So, did the team play better in front of him? Yes. But still, in the end, there are nights the team doesn't play well in front of Ullmark either, and he gets through it.
Paul's with us. The Sabres game is tonight against St. Louis, 803-0550 to join us. Oposo got back, had a couple goals. How'd he look to you?
Yeah, he's, you know, being around the net, he looks like he's almost a little refreshed. I mean, you know, he's got a little jump to his step. He's in on the forecheck. That line is once again in on the forecheck. And they're getting some points. And if, you know, you can get the kind of production lately out of Larson, especially, and Oposo, and even Gergensen's had a night where he had a couple of goals. And, you know, all I'm looking for from that line is got guys to have between 7 and 10 goals. You know, somewhere in there, and I think you're fine. What you can't have is when they don't even have 7 goals combined. And you just get nothing out of them. I mean, you have to get something out of that line offensively. It doesn't have to be 20 goal scorers or anything like that, but you have to get a contribution. And if you don't, I mean, you're starting to count too much on Eichel and too much on Olofsson and too much on Skinner. And, you know, you have to get the a little bit out of there. And they've been doing that, and they've picked up points in, 7 out of 9 games, I believe it is now. And, yeah, I understand 3 of the games were losses, but they're still, you know, picking up points and right there for second place. I mean, they're right sitting there with the Florida Panthers for second place.
Yeah, I mean, they're in the group. They're in that mix. I mean, there's Boston, and then there's everybody else, right? There's Florida, there's Tampa, there's Toronto, there's the Sabres. So they're despite the stretch they went through after the hot start, they are right there with everybody else in the division, which is nice thing to see.
Yeah, that's the amazing thing. I mean, they had a horrendous November till the very end of November, and they've stayed right in the standings, and it just shows you that they banked some points in October, and it was good for them. I mean, they were the number one team in the NHL for a while, and you know, they're not going to even be the number one team in the division. None of them are. I think we can safely say Boston is pretty much. Now, people can point back to what St. Louis did last year, but I'm still, that would mean it's still a total collapse by the Bruins, and I don't think you're going to see that.
Jack Eichel, go. I suppose I should preface it with some kind of a question, but he is on pace for, I think it's 48 goals and 111 points. And we've talked about his two-way game being better and all these things. Go ahead. You got it.
On that, Paul, just real quick on the 100 points. A couple years ago, maybe 5 years ago, there were no 100-point scorers. And now this year, we're back on pace for about
10. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, as someone who's often complained about scoring, before we get to Jack specifically, is there anything specific you think about the game that has brought back the 100-point score? Because it's very much a welcome thing, in my opinion.
I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I do know goals are up this year in the NHL. And as I said, I don't have the specific numbers in front of me, so that will help. I think power plays are up as far as goals. It seems like to me, if you look at the percentages for the power play teams, to me they look to the. It seems like they're up from past years also. So it seems, you know, that you're getting more power play goals. And that's going for it, too. Other than that, I mean, I just think that the scoring is up, and that's something that they have tried to do. I think there are probably more power plays. I mean, I've had a couple people complain to me about all the slashing penalties that get called. And
Howard complained.
I hate, Paul, they are so ticky-tacky. They're really out of control. I don't like it.
But they're getting called.
I know.
I mean, you might not like that, but I would say to you or somebody else who complains about that, do you like the increased scoring in the NHL?
Well, I'm not. No, Paul, I want less goals. But I think they've taken it. The premise of the slash was guys are getting broken fingers, broken hands, broken wrists. Okay, I get it. I mean, you tap a guy on the shaft of his stick and they're sending you off for 2 minutes.
Yeah, I don't think slashing somebody's stick, and it's just maybe old time. I don't really think that should be slashing. To me, slashing is when you've hit their body.
Yep.
Not their stick. To me, it's if you hit their stick, I don't feel that should be slashing, but they feel to the letter of the law, I guess it is.
All right, Paul. So to get back to Jack Eichel and the way he's playing, because I kind of derailed that with the talk 100 points and power plays and slashing. So on to Jack.
Yeah, it's kind of he's taking it right down to the end the last couple of games for his scoring streak. But the thing is, you know, they've needed goals in those situations, and he's come through once scoring a goal and once with, you know, helping with the overtime goal, just a tic-tac-toe play for the Miller play. So, and he had been out there for a little while too. You know, he didn't go for the change, and that's not the first time we've seen. Matter of fact, last year in Calgary, I believe he played the whole overtime, if I'm not mistaken. And so he didn't go for the change, and Johansson came out and Miller came out, and Eichel was instrumental in that goal too. But a lot of what he, I think the reason his point total is going up is what you talked about, better defensively. And when he hustles back like that, very often he'll break up the play and turn and go. And that's getting him, I think, up the ice faster in transition and helping him get more opportunities in the offensive zone. So Kruger kind of promised him that, you know what, if you improved your defensive game, I think you're going to find that that's going to improve your offensive game. And I think Kruger's been right. I mean, I keep pointing to the second Toronto game that they lost because Anderson stood on his head. I thought Eichel was the second best player on the ice, and a lot of it was the notes I took defensively. He made four defensive plays in that game that were just gorgeous plays, that were dangerous plays by the Leafs coming down, but he hustled back. I mean, it was like he just shot out of a cannon and broke the plays up.
Yep.
And did exactly what I was talking about, turned and go. I mean, it wasn't like he broke it up, but still the Leafs, you know, got the puck back and hemmed him in. It was quick, and it's just up to Reinhardt, up to Olsson, and off they go. And I really was impressed with that game from him.
Hearing, you know, Craig Revay talk about this, we had Ralph Kruger said he felt like Jack's defensive game has taken big, big steps. Are you in that camp too? You feel like he's coming into the player he's supposed to be?
Yeah, and I've seen improvement in this defensive game in past years, but not like this. It really, I mean, it's something he cares about to the degree that he's out there now when the goaltender's pulled and the team's coming at him. He's out there to take a big face-off and to be in the, quote, defensive side of things. And he's the only one that I think the Sabres have that I have any faith at all that's going to try to score in an empty net. I mean, I have never seen a team as bad as they are when the goaltender's pulled. They just can't put a game away putting a thing in the empty net unless it's Eichel.
Yeah.
He seems to be like the only guy that can
from
do
his
it.
Own circle, like the, in their own ends.
The,
right
the last one, he attempted to get two other guys to throw it in the empty net, and finally was like, all right, I'll just do it.
Yeah.
There was Vesey and Girgensons, I think.
I just, it's, you know, it's very often, then all of a sudden the puck goes in and they're tied, and I think to myself, boy, there have been a lot of points the past couple of years that they've lost out on because they can't put the puck into an empty net.
All right, Mr. Hamilton, nice chatting with you, sir. Enjoy the game tonight.
Yes, take care, guys.
All right, Paul. Paul, brought to you by Losi and Ganji, Buffalo's workers' comp attorneys, working hard for hardworking Western New Yorkers.
Ryan O'Reilly has one mission tonight.
End the streak?
Point streak.
Oh, okay. So check. Hey, Ryan, go check Jack and make sure he doesn't score. The franchise record is 18. He is five shy of tying the franchise record, which is held by Gilbert Perreault. So we've still got a few games to go. 803-0550 to join us this morning. 888-550-2550 on WGR.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours.
and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
That means it's time to give away tickets to see the Trans-Siberian Orchestra. They're going to be at KeyBank Center Saturday night at 8 o'clock. Minimum value of the prize is $80. The tickets are courtesy of Metamorphic Concerts. General contest rules will apply. Call now for your chance to win. 644-9878 is the number to call. We'll give a pair of tickets to the fifth caller. We'll give a pair of tickets to the sixth caller because we're in a good mood. 644-9878. Call now for your chance to win. Again, callers 5 and 6. The show is this Saturday night at KeyBank Center. If you don't win tickets, but you still want to go to the show, you can purchase them right now at tickets.com.
Quick thing that slid under the radar in the sports world this week. Patrick Reed is a cheater. Patrick Reed, the golfer. He's been accused of cheating before. Shane Ryan had a book, Chasing the Tiger, allegations and incidents, included stealing equipment from teammates at Georgia, falsifying scores during qualifying events.
Really?
But they caught him cheating on camera this time. So he's playing in...
like move a ball
I think it's
or something?
An invitational tournament for Tiger, right? Patrick Reed, who's on the Ryder Cup team. So he's in some sand. I mean, a bunker is one way to put it. There's a lot of sand on this course. When you're in sand, you cannot ground your club or improve your lie. Like, you can't do anything like that.
Yeah.
And the camera catches him. His ball lands in what looks like maybe a little bit of a divot in the sand, maybe like a shoe print, whatever.
Okay.
There's a good little mound of sand behind his ball.
Okay.
Which would make it more difficult
tough,
to
right,
hit.
With all the sand backed
up. He places his club behind the ball and then mimics like a practice swing.
Oh, and he moved the sand?
Twice.
That's funny. Okay, I guess
as
I'm not supposed to be
clear
laughing.
As day.
Yeah, right.
And he says, oh, it's the camera angle that lies. No, it does. The camera makes it look like the ground moves. Nah, dude, you cheat.
Maybe he consulted the Patriots about that.
This guy's a cheater.
He moved the sand out of the way. Yeah, that's so the old backswing.
Forget a book about allegations.
That's good.
That's just cheating.
That's funny.
You do that in a scramble and people call you out. You can't do that.
I think it's funny.
I mean,
but I'm not a golfer. I don't appreciate the gravity of the situation, I guess.
It was a waste bunker. The Bahamas at the Hero World Challenge.
A waste bunker?
A limited field, Tiger hosted, there you go, event. Clear as day.
So this is not, was this a sanctioned PGA Tour event? Or?
No, I don't think.
So there's really no.
I mean, sure there are. He was assessed a 2-stroke penalty. I don't know about sanctions, whatever. Okay. It's a Tiger event. I mean, it's not like, you know.
That's funny.
You're hitting with lacrosse balls or anything like that, or lacrosse sticks. It's golf.
It's like Judge Smales in Caddyshack. You know, you do what you got to do. kick the ball here. You do something there.
It's amazing.
Sand.
It is amazing. I'm going to retweet this right
guys
now.
That's funny. Guy's got some guts, man.
Guts.
Oh, you're tweeting out the video?
I mean, I did yesterday. It's from, I'll tweet
I gotta
out
take a look.
The
I
link.
Didn't see it. I got to take a look at it.
You got to see this. You can't even believe it. You think the Patriots are brazen in how they cheat.
Is it bad that I'm laughing at this? No.
It's not bad. I mean.
It's a pretty smart move on his part.
No, it's not.
Did you think, is it that obvious? Did he think that no one's going to see me?
He got penalized.
No, but I mean, did he think that nobody would see him do it?
I can't imagine how anyone could think you would get away with it. You might as well just pick up your ball and place it in the hole and be like, oh, that was it.
I mean, he had the audacity to try it once, but then he did it again.
Okay, quickly.
Right before he hit the ball.
Okay.
It's a waste bunker, which is different from a bunker. Thank you to the texter. So you can ground your club, but you are not allowed to improve your lie.
Yeah, which is what he was doing. So he grounded the club and then on the backswing improved his lie, basically.
Well, not even a practice swing. He was literally sweeping the sand away from his ball.
Yeah, for a better shot.
So you can move the sand in a waste bunker, but not to improve your lie.
Got it.
All right. Thank you for the clarification. Everything else stands. It's cheating. You can't do that. And to say, oh, no, that didn't happen. It's the camera angle. Oh. All right.
This is all the Patriots' fault with Spygate.
Well, in all seriousness, it's another example of a person with a history of being accused of cheating at his sport
being
is caught cheating at his sport.
Right. Can you suspend him for an event or two on the tour? Can you just,
The penalty is two strokes. So
that doesn't seem that harsh.
That's it. That's in the books. The penalty is two strokes.
But if you're not winning the tournament anyway, who cares? It's just a two-stroke penalty. If you're cheating, shouldn't there be something more of a repeated cheater?
No. That's the penalty is two strokes for improving your lie in that spot. If he didn't report it or didn't accept it and signed an incorrect scorecard, then that's a disqualification. If you get a penalty and you don't include it. Man, what a brazen cheater.
He was, I can't even come up with, I got an excuse for the Patriots. I can't even come up with one because I'm not enough of a golfer to try and build an excuse for what he was doing to try and sell it. 803-0550 to join us this morning. 888-550-2550. Going to be talking about the Bills coming up at 8:30. Marcel Louis-Jacques going to join us from ESPN.com. They're playing Pittsburgh, of course, Sunday night. You know about that. We'll find out about the Steelers. Really an amazing season in light of all the stuff that's happened to the franchise in terms of the players that have been lost, traded, injured, all that stuff. Arthur Motes, former Bill, going to join us at 9:30. He is working for 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh these days, so he'll give us the Steelers rundown a little bit later in the show on WGR.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.